Today, the U.S. Capitol is surrounded by fences 12 feet high. That's because tonight is the State of the Union address, and every branch of government will be represented in the building. Now, the fencing is not at the level it was after January 6th last year, but the riots and the breach of the Capitol and expected protests this week from a convoy of truckers coming to D.C. have beefed up security. Yesterday, I spoke a few steps from the Capitol to Jane Campbell. She's president and CEO of the United States Capitol Historical Society. Jane, you and I and James, our producer, we're standing in what's called the Senate Swamp.
Yes.
We're right next to the steps of the Senate. We can see a protester with, you know, with the big sign at the steps of the Senate. This is Monday. We're the day before the State of the Union. There are these kind of low-level bicycle fences. What does security look like?
Well, you can see the large fence has been placed around the perimeter, what we call the inner perimeter, just around the Capitol itself. It's not locked yet, so we could walk in and out.
Yeah.
There are bicycle fences that will be, you know,
these low-level kind of three-foot fences.
Low-level three-foot-high fences that sort of tell you where to walk. And you can see that neither the House nor the Senate are in session. If they were, there would be a flag that flies over each of the chambers. And that flag's not up. So you can always look and see. The flag over the Capitol itself flies, you know, on behalf of the country.
Yeah.
But they put the flags up when they're in session and keep it up. So, you know, if they're into a, like, midnight session, the flag stays up until they leave.
And we have people walking by, motorcycles going back and forth.
You got police officers. But, you know, then there's a young guy with his son on a little scooter who's just showing the neighborhood.
Steps from the Capitol.
Steps from the Capitol. And that's how it is most days.
So after January 6th,
after January 6th,
level of fences went up?
There was a 3.5-mile fence that covered all of the congressional properties, included all the congressional office buildings.
Oh, so we're in front of the Russell Building and the Dirksen Building, Library of Congress, all of that.
All of the House office buildings, including there's a House office building that is almost to the highway.
Yeah.
And so literally, and it went down on the other side of the reflecting pool, and it was literally a 3.5-mile perimeter.
Wow. And what kind of fence was that? Was it one of these tall
fences? It was this big, tall fence, but it had barbed wire on the top of it.
And how did that strike you?
I've lived in Washington now since January of 2009, and it made you feel like you're in a, you know, foreign country. It just didn't feel like our democracy,
like the emperor's far away. What was the feeling? Yeah,
the feeling was, what are we afraid of? What's wrong?
So on January 6th, I mean, we've all seen so much of the footage. It was these types of barriers that were in place then. These low
the bicycle fence barriers,
and that was it.
That was it.
Okay. And so in retrospect, I mean, you know what these can do and can't do. In retrospect, how do you think about the level of at least the fencing security?
Well, it clearly was inadequate. Now, you know, I didn't have access to all of the security. I think none of us were prepared for the attack that happened on January 6th. There have been protests in this town for as long as the country has existed. And, you know, we've had Million Man March, you know, 2 million women. We've had people, you know, over at the Supreme Court who are in favor of pro-choice, who are against abortion. And people have come to make their opinions known. But never before was there a group that came that completely disrespected the security protocols, completely disrespected the Capitol itself, that was calling for violence against members of Congress and the Vice President of the United States. So it was not something anybody was really ready for because it was so out of character.
Now, the fences weren't always here. Jane Campbell says over the decades, security stepped up every time there was a violent incident at the Capitol. In the 1950s, Puerto Rican nationalists with guns fired onto the House floor, wounding 5 members. In the 90s, a deranged gunman killed 2 Capitol police officers. And then, of course, 9/11. Still, Congress finds a way to bring in as many as 20,000 tourists every day for tours of the Capitol, at least in non-pandemic times. Jane reminisces about the days regular people bumped into members of Congress.
You know, several members of Congress are friends of mine, and one member described it. We always called March Madness had a different meaning here because that's when all the school groups would come.
Field trip season.
And he said, you know, it was madness trying to walk through the hall, but it reminded me of what I'm doing here and who I work for because I saw those students. And people, you know, would come up and say, Congressman so-and-so, you know, I'm Joey Smith from your district. And often the members of Congress would stop and talk to the kids and say hello. And
when you think about the value of these tours and what people can learn inside, the value of this building going back to 1800 and significantly burned down in 1814 and rebuilt. When you think of these barriers, then, the obvious reason for it, the obvious benefit, is to protect against events that have happened. But what is the cost to somebody who will have to stand that much further out even than we are today, away from the Capitol tomorrow?
As long as the barriers are temporary, at a time of a significant event like the State of the Union, or at a time of a particular threat, I think they're reasonable. It's sad that we have to do it. We never had to do it prior to January 6th. But the attack of January 6th showed us that we have to take action to protect our Capitol and our members of Congress. And balancing the need for protection with the need for openness is the balancing act that we're doing right now. And I think having them go up, and, you know, people know, okay, it's the State of the Union. You can't go right up to the Capitol tomorrow, but you can today. I mean, if you look over, there's a gentleman with a sign who is, you know, saying...
Yeah, right at the steps of the Senate.
Right on the steps of the Senate, saying, divided we fall. He's making his opinion known.
Jane, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
We did catch up to that one protester. Artist Stephen Parlato of Colorado had a big sign around his neck. One side said, divided we fall, and the other said, the big lie. Parlato said he was pleased to have the right to protest at the steps of the Senate, but his one lament is that more Americans were not outside protesting with him.
It's one of those ironies that in a country where that's still one of the greatest aspects of its citizens' freedoms, that it's hardly used by its citizens. It's dismaying.
That's artist and activist Stephen Parlato of Colorado. We've got his picture and signs up on our website, hereandnow.org. And before Parlato, we talked to Jane Campbell of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society yesterday afternoon.